Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Hello, welcome to a Thursday edition of the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, the man with the mic. Tonight on the conversation, folks, we're going to be talking about the constitutional rights because, as you all know, Trump's attorney, Michael Cohen, has been raided by the FBI, and that says a lot about rights in general because pretty soon you're not going to have any right to confidentiality. I want to get into that. I also want to get into thoughts on Syria and Putin, as you know, and the Kremlin has said that any attacks we do to try to go after the people that did the chemical raids, that Trump is going to go after them, that they're going to try to shoot down any of our missiles, and it's going to be, I see World War III happening. I want to get into also, if you haven't heard, an Arizona court has actually shot down, and basically, if you are a dreamer, you will no longer get in-state tuition. There are states in the United States where you can be an illegal, and you cannot, well, you get in-state tuition if you're illegal, but if I'm a U.S. citizen, I have to pay out-of-state tuition if I'm not from that state. This is something that's hard to believe, but L.A. is actually painting their streets white in a bid to combat climate change. Yes, I cannot make that up. That much, much more. So welcome to the conversation that you're a part of. Psalms 94:19. When doubt fills my mind, your comfort gives me renewed hope and cheer. Think about that as you're going through your day to day. And it's nice to be back again this week. As many of you know, I was off for a couple weeks because I was really sick, and then my wife almost was in the hospital. And so I got someone on the phone. You there? You can chime in whenever you want to. But I want to get into this that actually has huge ramifications for all Americans. These raids on Michael Cohen are not just, oh, they're going after, because I've heard liberals say, well, they're going after Trump. They're going after, you know, it's legitimate, all this BS. And I'm like, well, it's only a matter of time before the FBI says, okay, hey, we're going to raid your psychiatrist. I know you have confidentiality agreements where, you know, what you tell your psychiatrist and what they talk about, what's written down, cannot be, you know, it's between you two. It's between you and your attorney. It's confidential. Well, not anymore, because if they can go after Michael Cohen, it's only a matter of time. If they can go after the President of the United States and raid his attorney's office, his lawyer's office, to get stuff that we were assuming would be confidential. Not anymore. And it's going to trickle down to all of us. It's a right we're going to lose. And that's something that people don't think about. All they think about is, well, oh, we hate Trump and yay, yay, yay. You know, when's he going to get out of office? When's he going to not the ramifications of, hey, you have rights in this country. I want to go to my doctor and talk to him about my medical issues that I have without the fear of the government interfering and listening into everything that goes on in our lives. I mean, I do have a support group, and it is closed, but I'm sure if you know what the heck you're doing, you can probably get on and read about the issues that me and the people in my support group deal with on a daily basis. I accept some risk, you know, but if I'm under the understanding that I have confidentiality with my attorney or my doctor, it should be confidential. I shouldn't have to wonder if the government's going to interfere. But then again, all the time, I own my own house. I said, no, you don't. You want me to show you the deed to it? I just paid off the mortgage. I said, well, yeah, you might technically own it, but all it takes is the government wanting to build a 4-lane highway through your house and intimate domain. You know, there's a reason why we have the Second Amendment, to guarantee all other God-given rights. There's a reason why we have, that's the reason why America is one of the greatest countries, because we have certain rights. And when Michael Cohen's office was raided by the FBI, and they're going through confidential documents, that just means, well, if they can go after the president, then they can go after anybody. Except Barack Obama or Nancy Pelosi or Hillary Clinton or, you know, Michael Moore, anything, you know. But then again, you know, they're not rich and wealthy like these greedy, evil Republicans. Now, I want to get into this because this is really cool. They had a thing kind of based on, like, today's income, like the top 20 most popular presidents and their salaries and what their net worths were. And the 20th was Abraham Lincoln, and he has, in this day and age, like $1 million. Jimmy Carter was 19th, and Gerald Ford was 18th with $8 million net worth. Dwight D. Eisenhower was 17th. With $9 million net worth, you know, they only have $400,000 salary. You know, Ronald Reagan had $14 million and 16th. Nixon with 15th. And this survey, and there was $17 million. Herbert Walker Bush had $26 million net worth. Martin Van Buren, number 13, had $29 million. The latest George Bush, he had 20 or 39 million. Barack Obama only had 40 million. He is in 11th. FDR, 66 million. Bill Clinton in 9th with 75 million. Herbert Hoover, 82 million. LBJ, 108 million in 7th. Some of these were really fascinating, though. James Madison, 112 million. Andrew Jackson, $131 million in 5th. Thomas Jefferson, 4th, $234 million. George Washington in 3rd with $580 million. JFK with $1 billion and Trump with $3.7 billion. Oh, you know, I mean, I always talk about how there's no one wants term limits in the White House. I mean, we do have term limits in the White House, but in Congress and Senate, we don't. And these people come in here broke as a joke, and they leave billionaires. You don't make much as a politician, so why does everyone want to be one? I tell my little friends this all the time. Just look at politicians in general and how much money and wealth they accumulate. I couldn't accumulate the wealth they did without being investigated. I mean, hell, me and my wife live paycheck to paycheck, and when we go to do our taxes, we owe money. I mean, the ACLU is supporting all these raids and all this stuff that's happening. Aren't they supposed to support civil liberties and rights? And support, like, hey, you have the right, you can't do this. You have, you know, that's why they're a huge supporter of all these unions and all these benefits that these workers need. Well, I guess when it comes to, you know, the FBI and raiding Trump's attorney and, you know, taking confidential documents, that's perfect. Oh, that's acceptable. No, that's okay. Even though we're supposed to be an organization that says we're for rights and liberties and just, I just know that none of this crap will be happening to Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. Nope. Let the man do his job to make this. I mean, do liberals not want America to be great? You would think the liberals would say, okay, well, let Trump have his way. And then we can blame him when the economy's not doing well, because it's not going to do well because he's not going to do the things that need to be done. You know? You would think they would want him to have his policies succeed, so that when this country doesn't work, hey, we tried Trump, the country's going downhill, the stock market's plummeting, all this stuff, and then they could say, ha-ha, blame. See, we let Trump do what he wanted to do. But, no. I mean, they don't want to let Trump do what he wants to do because it's going to work. It's going to work. It's going to do something. You know? Like I've said a myriad of times on this program, the one thing I still remember to this day, when Barack Obama won the election against John McCain, my mom that next morning called me and she goes, did you watch any of his speech or anything? And I said, yeah. And I was scared about one thing. And my mom goes, what? They were not chanting USA. They were chanting Obama, like a dictator, like a dear leader. When we're all, I'm not about Trump. I'm about the United States. If Trump's the guy that's going to give us back our liberties and our freedoms, then great. That's what I want. I want someone that is for the United States of America. That's what I want. And that's what this country needs. Someone that's a cheerleader for America. Someone that wants to get us going in the right direction. And it's nice to see places putting stuff on products, you know, made in the USA. It's great. It's great to see that again. That's what we want. We want jobs coming back here. I know there's going to be a time where, I mean, like if you go to a fast food restaurant, you don't need cashiers. All you really need is one person to monitor self-serve kiosks just in case somebody has a problem. But there are a lot of jobs, you know, you could do without a lot of cashiers at stores and just have a self-checkout. And there's going to be some transitioning. I mean, there's a lot of jobs that you could sit there and have an assembly line where a machine can do it 10 times faster, 10 times more accurate, and 10 times better and quicker, and you could eliminate. And I think we're in one of those transitioning stages in terms of a lot of jobs. I remember I worked at a video store. Video stores are dang near obsolete. You just go to Netflix and click on whatever you want to watch. Go on YouTube. Go on Hulu. It's not needed anymore. I'm surprised those red boxes still exist to the extent that they do. We're in a transition stage in this country where there's a lot of jobs that 10 years ago were a big thing. Now they're not. And that's something that is going to affect a lot of, like where I live, we have a lot of openings if you're wanting to work with your hands. If you want to be a welder, an electrician, a plumber, everyone wants to go to school so they can be the CEO and sit in a cush office and live a good life and leave at 2:00 in the afternoon and go play golf. and then spend the weekends on their yacht. That's not everyone. Teach, if there's parents out there listening, teach your kids that it's okay to be a mechanic. It's okay to work on cars or fix stuff. You know, they have these commercials now where, yeah, now that I got kids, I don't want to waste a whole Saturday installing a toilet. That's why I got home advisor. You know what my dad did? He goes, you're going to come in and we're going to replace the toilet and I'm going to show you how I'm doing it. There's a gasket that needs to be replaced. And I'm going to show you how to replace the gasket and how to shut the water off and how to do stuff. You know how much it's going to cost to have someone replace this $5 gasket? How it is. No one wants to do stuff with their hands. And that's sad that people that, you know, I mean, I work at assisted living continuing care community, and it's hard to get people that want to work. They just want a paycheck. They don't want to earn anything anymore. They don't want to say, hey, I paid for this. I bought this. I made this. I got a kit, and I made a Gibson-style Les Paul in memory of a good friend of mine that passed away. And it means, I mean, out of every guitar I have, it's my favorite one. Out of all my drums, it's my favorite one because I sat there and I sanded the body and stained it and soldered the electronics and did all kinds of work on it. And not many people want to do that anymore. People just want to live the good, you know, people don't want to. They want to find the easiest job that makes the most money. You know, so many people come here and, oh, you know, I had $3. And I came to this country and I made something of myself. Now it's like, okay, I came here with nothing. Why don't you give me something? Where's my free money? Where's my free everything? I think it's near D.C. There's a guy, a Muslim that came here from like Pakistan with $3. He started a taxi company, kind of where he had one really high-end car and he chauffeured some of the elite people. And after a while, he gave that up and started a restaurant. And no questions asked, anyone that goes to that restaurant that's homeless can eat for free. No questions asked. They get treated like everyone else. They get something to drink, something to eat, a dessert, whatever. And the homeless people are so grateful to have a place, a non-judgmental place where they can grab something to eat. And the guy's like, you know, I know what it's like to have nothing. I know what it's like. But I'm so tired of people that literally expect everything to be given to them. I work for what I have. And I try to instill that in the people that come here. You know, just because you're down on your luck doesn't mean you're out. You can still make something. And do something. And that's what this country used to be founded on. Not where's my safe space, help me, what can the government do for me, but what can I do, how can I help out, how can I, oh, we can't use the struggle anymore, have it. Now let's see what I can get for it on eBay or on a Facebook buy and sell it here page. I'm not going to take something that I have and give it to somebody. I'm going to see what I can get for it. Instead of, here, let's help out our fellow person. An Arizona court says that dreamers no longer are eligible for in-state tuition. Now, I know people who have been here 17 years, can't speak a lick of English, are not even a legal citizen yet, and they work here until their social security numbers and stuff don't add up, and then they have to leave, and then they go to another place, and they work there until that social security. They have a cable channel that gets like five or 12 channels. It's all Spanish or whatever. You know, they get all this stuff given to them, paid for, and they're not even legal. And then I would try to get those. I've tried to get some of the benefits that they were getting, and I couldn't get them, and I'm a legal U.S. citizen born here. Tons of DACA people that got degrees and all this stuff. And, well, if they are a legal U.S. citizen, and they're living in Arizona, then they should have the ability, if they've been there long enough, in most states it's only 6 months to a year, and you can get in-state tuition. I mean, there were so many people that their parents came here illegally, and when their kids were given birth, well, now they're a citizen because they were born here. Well, my ancestors, when my mom and dad's families came here, you didn't speak English. You didn't talk. You were ashamed to speak your native tongue. Now we have the exact opposite. We have people that these DACA people that want to stay. They don't want to get citizenship because they don't want to lose all these benefits, all this free stuff given to them. You will learn your native tongue first, whether it's Spanish, Portuguese, whatever. And, you know, if you learn English, yeah, but whatever, you know. And it's sad that people want to come to this country and not want to embrace the language and the culture. You know, I remember when ancestors came here, how do I say the pledge? Do I put my hand on my heart? I'm an American. I'm proud to be one. And you have these people now that come here that, like, exploit the country and try to get whatever they can out of it. They don't care about it. And it's just sad that, you know, you have all these people that, like, will get benefits that aren't even legal that I can't even get, and I was born here. I've known people that were getting thousands back on their taxes, and I know for a fact they're not even illegal. They're not even legal because they were walked out of my establishment where I worked by police. Now, I don't mind. I'm for legal immigrants that come here legally. But when you have people that, I'm looking for so-and-so. Well, he's my dishwasher.
Yeah. Hey,
what's up?
Just leave an extra, okay?
Okay. You know, and it's one of those things that when you sit there and, like, I'm him. He's using my name, my social security card. I'm like, okay, well, I know we had 3 babies paid for. I know we had all this stuff. I couldn't get those benefits. I mean, they had a thing in Indianapolis recently where there were, like, this one person was claimed on, like, 5 tax returns. And they were red flagged, and I don't know if anything ever happened because I looked into it, and they've never been able to go back and see if anything ever came of them, if they ever did, if it ever affected anything. But you have these people that were getting, like, $20,000. They're claiming, like, 7 or 8 kids on the tax returns. And 2 of them were theirs, and the rest were just people that are claiming getting tax credits. It's kind of like saying, okay, if you have a hybrid car, you can get, like, $10,000. I wanted to see what would happen if I did try to get that tax credit, even though I didn't buy a hybrid, just to see. I mean, but it's just when you see these people that are not legal getting benefits you can't get, it gets frustrating. And that costs taxpayers. It costs American citizens. Everybody. And that's something that should concern everybody. Not because it's your money being spent. It's your money that's coming out of your pocketbooks. And people don't see that. People don't get that. You know, they don't. I mean, I wish you could honestly, okay, if you want to pay higher taxes, if the Democrats come out with a plan of higher taxes, if you want to support that and want to pay that, then you should have more money coming out of your paycheck for taxes. If you're a conservative like me, that's like a libertarian that doesn't want to pay any taxes at all, then I shouldn't have to pay. It would be amazing how many Democrats would probably wait a minute here. If you had the choice between a high tax plan and no taxes at all, who would want to pay taxes at all? Like, I got into it with my buddy in a fun argument because they want to get rid of the penny and just round up. I said, why round up, round down? You know? It's just one of those things that I would, so what? I'd buy, if I could round down, then I'd buy everything in a single, I'd go to the grocery store, buy all my groceries and do single transactions for every item. And then when they round down every item by one penny, two pennies, three pennies, whatever, I'd add up. I mean, just like I told myself, well, you know, you may think only, oh, we're just raising the price of a stamp a penny. Well, a penny times the billions of stamps that are sold every year, that's a lot of revenue. It's like, you know, it's a lot of money in my pocket for rounding down instead of up. But there's a bunch of people in Arizona. Well, this is going to hurt all these people. Well, they need to become legal U.S. citizens. I'm a dreamer. It's just one of them. They need to become legal U.S. citizens and go from there. I mean, this, I got to get into this because I wanted to talk about this. Some of the stories I talk about on the conversation, you cannot make this up. Los Angeles is painting city streets white in a bid to combat climate change. California officials are hoping their latest attempt to stem the rising tides of climate change leads to more socially conscious and cooler summers. Officials in Los Angeles have been painting streets white to reduce the effect of urban heatlands and combat the effects of climate change. LA Street Services began rolling out the project last May, which preliminary tests show has reduced the temperature of roadways by up to 10 degrees. The project involves applying a light gray coat of a product, Cool Seal, made by the company Guard Top. They think, I mean, we'll have to wait and see. I think it's ridiculous, but I guess if it makes the streets cooler, which I'm waiting to see if it actually makes that big of a difference. I'm sure if it's a 110 degree day outside and there's 100% humidity like there is in Indiana, it's going to be hot no matter what color the pavement is, whether it's red, yellow, white, orange, pink, blue. I don't think the color is going to make that big of a difference. But I could be wrong. We will have to wait and see. I really don't think that the money they're spending to do this is really going to affect anything, because global warming is BS anyway. So, you know, I don't know how people in California put up with it. I don't know. I don't know, but that's just one of those things that you have to read it to believe it. But, you know, that's why I live in a sensible state like Indiana, where, you know, we're very conservative, but we do have parts of it where there are lots of progressives, so. But at least we're not that bad that we're painting the streets white. Now, I do think we need to figure out a way to fix the pothole situation or find out what causes these roads to pothole like crazy. Because my dad tore up his car going 70 and not being able to get out of the way, went over a pothole and tore up a tire and everything. And I mean, there was a picture on Facebook a buddy posted of mine. It was like 23 AD Greek Road. Nothing wrong with it. It shows like a 2018 built road and there's a huge pothole in it. And it's just, I mean, like, some of our roads, even where I live, there are huge, huge holes. And it's like, okay, LA, you're going to paint the roads white. We have potholes like crazy. We need to find a way to make the roads so that they don't tear up every 2 minutes. Now, I think one of the big solutions would be concrete, and I know that's expensive, but it's just ridiculous that... Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just, I mean, it's just, it is, especially in Michigan, it is bad. It is like, it's nuts. And it just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. Now, if painting the roads white would stop them from cracking and having potholes, then go right ahead. But painting the roads white in LA to combat climate change? I don't know. I just think, at least where we are, potholes are a major issue and something that needs to be addressed if you're going to talk about doing anything as far as roads. You know, I just, when I saw that article come up about painting the roads white, I'm like, oh, Lord. It's one of those, you know, like, haha, like, I thought it was a joke at first. I'm like, is this, and I had to do some double checking, fact checking. No, it's real. They're actually in LA painting roads white, and they've been doing it since May. I want to get into this because this is kind of interesting. There's kind of a double side to it. A Virginia student claims she was told to take down a pro-gun video from Facebook by the school, and she's very, very adamant about the Second Amendment, and I guess she, in the video, she talks about a transgender person and calls the student by name, and because of that, it's what they claim. They wanted her not to take down the video, is what the school is claiming, which she's like, no, they told me to take it down completely. No, that in the school... is basically saying, no, it's not about the pro-gun argument. We don't care about that. You called a student by name. He's transgender and all this. And so, and she's like, no, I was told to take down the video altogether. And they said, no, we have no problem with it if you wouldn't have mentioned the student's name and all this. And I'm like, you know, when we were in school, we didn't care what you were. We didn't care if you were gay, lesbian, transgender, disabled, you know. And if this girl broke some sort of law or did something wrong because she said this person's name, which I don't think it was anything, I don't know. I don't think it was anything that would say, like, derogatory anything towards the person. Because I know when they had that Parkland shooting in Florida, there were some people that were interviewed and they gave away the person's name. No, we don't want you to mention the name. And they already did. You know, it was just one of those things that, I don't know. To me, I don't see anything wrong with using the student's name, but it's just one of those things where she basically said, well, the school is now telling me that, because originally, what she says, like, in school, 100%, the 16-year-old with her 18-minute video said that the school mainly told her to not edit it in the beginning. Now they're saying, oh, she's been told to edit it. You know, and so it's kind of a, who do you believe? I mean, I just love her talk, because you have all these people that are anti-gun, and it's nice to see that there are some youth that understand their rights, that and understand their constitution, and it's just great.